All right, this morning I'm going to deliver Father's Day's message, and the text for my message is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to verse 12, please. Those who have got Bible, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to verse 12. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to verse 12. As I read this text, just take note that there is something that describes a mother and also a verses that describe the role of a father. So starting from verse 7. Verse 7 says, "For we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charge every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Very short passage, but very meaningful. So let us pray. Father, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we have the perfect Father in heaven. And in your scripture, you have revealed different roles for fathers and mothers. And so this morning we are here to study that short passage you have given us. And Lord, as this word is being preached, your grace be dispensed and be given to those fathers on earth to father their own children. Lord, many a times we don't know how, so we look to you because you are a perfect Father. So Holy Spirit, take this word, anoint this word, and may your people have a hearing ear, receptive heart, to hear your word, to receive it, and to practice it in their life. Lord, I pray that as this word is being delivered, Father, that you will bring up godly fathers in our midst. Even for those who are not father yet, Father, may you impart this grace unto them, that they in turn, when they get married, they will be godly fathers to their children. That the godly Christian family will be raised up, Father, for your glory. So this morning, Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Today is Father's Day. And this is a day to express our appreciation for fathers, and a day to especially remember their contribution to the family. And so we salute all the fathers today. And I wish all fathers a very happy and a blessed Father's Day. Now, after this sermon, I'll open up a short time of testimony for any church members who would like to express their love and appreciation to their fathers, or even for some people, their husband in the role as the dad of the family. So I hope to deliver a short sermon about fathering. Now, the title of my Father's Day's message is A Father Motivates His Children. A Father Motivates His Children. It is interesting that the text that we just read actually described the role of the mother as well as the father. Now, in verse 7, Paul described the main role of a mother as a nursing mother. Nursing mother. And so, point number one is, God has given mothers the main role of providing nursing care. And then in verse 10 to verse 12, Paul then began to describe the main role of a father. And Paul says here, let me repeat what I've read. He says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." And so God's word here gives us three qualities that every father should emulate. So a father is to first exhort, means to encourage. And then second, to comfort. And then the third area is to charge or urge his children to live lives worthy of God. Now, of course, there are other responsibilities of a father, but today we'll just concentrate or focus on three of them. So if we look at one word to describe these three qualities, that would be the word motivation. So in other words, in verse 11 and 12, God has given the fathers the main role to motivate his children. Now, this is not to say that mothers don't motivate or fathers don't provide nursing care. There is certainly an overlap in this parental role. But when it comes down to what we naturally do best, mother has this God-given grace of providing care, while father has a God-given grace of motivating. So just to give you an example or illustrate with an example, when a young child gets cut and needed a band-aid, their first instinct is to go straight to the mother's. Does father know how to put a band-aid? Of course. Certainly. Children wanted mom because mom has a natural grace and gifting of providing nursing care. But when a child play in the sports or in the competition, their inner longing is for the dad to see them play and then to encourage them, because that encouragement means so much to them. So children like to say, "Dad, watch this. Dad, want to see what I can do." In summary, kids look to the mom for nursing care, but they look to the dad for motivation. And so Paul focuses on this motivational role here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he talks about the father encouraging, comforting, and then urging their children to live the lives worthy of God. And so now look at how fathers are to motivate their children. The how. First, of course, he says by encouraging them. And so that your children look to you for support and for the vote of confidence. They need you to believe in them. So how? In three ways, I suggest. With your words, with your physical presence, and then with your support. So first is encouraging them with your words. Now, Proverbs 18 verse 22 says the tongue has the power of life and death. So fathers, as the head of the household, spiritually your words carry weight, the extra weight with your children. The bulk of your word that you speak to your children actually help to shape their general outlook of life. If a child grows up with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child grows with praise and encouragement, he learns to appreciate and to have confidence. So your kids will remember some very specific hurtful things that you said to them many years ago. Even though you may have forgotten about those words. And so use your word to encourage your kids more often. Tell your children that you love them and you are proud of them, and compliment them of their accomplishment. Encourage them by saying, "You did it. Well done. I am impressed." And as they grow older, you can tell them things like, "I can see that you work really hard on this. Good job. I'm proud of you." So these words means a lot to your children. Now, many parents today have problems motivating their children because they never heard their dad encouraging them when they were young. And so, unfortunately, for many, their dad only choose to speak words of discouragement to them. Words like, "You are useless and good for nothing," or you can't do anything right. And so the book of James says that the tongue has great power, both for good and for evil. So a father's encouraging words are very important to develop a child's confidence and motivation. And so remember to encourage your children with positive words. And so second, encourage them with your physical presence. Now, the Greek word translated into English called encourage originally means to come alongside. It is a picture of a coach coming alongside to one of the players and say, "You can do it. Give it a try. I have full confidence in you."
And so do you come alongside to your children? Now this means that dad needs to be present and to be involved in their kids' life and activity. Now in this modern world, dad is very busy trying to earn money and tend to neglect spending time with their children. Now dinner time is especially important. When I raise up my three children when they're young, we always have meals together. Lunch, dinner, most of the days. And so, a survey being published in this, what they call, magazine USA Today, and dated August 1997, found that teens who eat dinner with their parents at least five times a week are less likely to take drugs, less likely to be depressed, they're more motivated in their school, and that they have a happier social life. Why? Because eating together promotes communication. It builds connection, rapport, and then family bond and love. And so the best gift that a father can give to his child is the gift of himself, his time. Material things means little if there's no one or someone to share or enjoy with. And so in the survey, they asked about 1,500 children this question: what do you think makes a happy family? And so they listed a lot of things. Money, big homes, or large TV screen do not appear as the number one in their list. The most common answer is doing things together. And so children spell love as T-I-M-E, time. We need to encourage our kids with our physical presence. Look for ways to spend time with your kids. Be involved in their activities. Spend time playing games with them or go to their sporting activities. Attend some of their activities as much as you can. Cheer for them from the stand. Say, go for it. I know you can. Work often takes dads away from home for large part of their time. And so dad need to re-examine their priority and make sure that they spend sufficient time with their wives and children. And so the third area, you can encourage them with your support. What do I mean by that? Encourage their endeavor. A man called Ray shared how he had a friend, John, coming over to his house when he was a teenager. And Ray sat down, playing and singing at the top of his voice. And he was making lots of mistakes. His voice was cracking here and there. And Ray was having lots of fun. And his friend John, who also played the piano, just stared at him and said, "Don't you know your parents are in the other room?" And so teenage Ray said, "Oh, I know, they don't mind." Then John shared how he never played the piano at home when his parents are around because they would always criticize his mistakes. And so he eventually stopped playing. How sad. Do not just pick out all the wrong notes that your children play. Do not forget to encourage your child for their effort and also for all the right notes. Never put your children down or belittle them. Listen to their aspiration and give them your honest view, feedback and counsel. Guide them, but let them decide for themselves. If your teenage child decided to pursue a particular path, then do your part to encourage them in that endeavor. And so dad, look for ways to encourage your children with your words, with your physical presence, and also your support. These three types of encouragement will help to motivate them towards excellence. And the second area, fathers are to motivate their children by comforting them. You can comfort your children in three ways: by listening, by empathizing, and then by through touch. How is encouraging different from comforting? To encourage is to motivate your children to get them started and to keep them going, to have the momentum. And to comfort is to help them get back up and keep going again when they are down. You may have done a great job encouraging your children and boosting their confidence. Well, at times, they may face insurmountable challenges and go into despair. Things may not come together as they hope for. That is when the child needs a father's comfort. We all experience setback in life, and children need you to help them to stay the course when the going gets tough or rough. And a father's comfort can provide the strength and the motivation for the child to overcome discouragement. And so how? There are three ways: by listening, empathizing, and by touch. First one, comfort them by listening to them. Proverbs 20 verse 5. Now children receive comfort when we give them a listening ear. At times they may feel like giving up, so don't discount their feelings. Ask them about the matter and let them share some of their inner thoughts and feelings. And so don't rush things through. Take time to hear them out. Because Proverbs 25 says, "The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out." Take the time to gain understanding. Often, just listening will bring some relief and help them to regain the strength they need to continue the course. And so second, comfort them by empathizing with them. As you listen, try to empathize with your child. If your child is young and afraid of dark, try to remember what it was like when you were young and afraid of the dark. Whatever they went through, try to remember how it was like when you had similar experiences, and listen and try to empathize and to identify with them. Try to feel what they're feeling. It may help when you share your past experiences with them. There was a story about a little boy who had leukemia and lost his hair due to chemo treatment. And the father was overwhelmed with empathy for his son. And so he shaved his own head to express empathy. He did not want his son to be alone in that suffering. And so he identified with his son and entered his sorrow with him. So when your child needs comfort, look for ways that you can identify with him or her. Empathy can be a very effective form of comfort. And then the third area is comfort them by physical touch. Don't be afraid to comfort your children with physical touch. Some dads have trouble showing physical affection to their children by hugging them or saying, "I love you." Dad, your children need your physical affection and hear those words from you. And so don't be afraid to hug your children or put your hands around their shoulder. And your physical touch of comfort can strengthen your children and help them to make through hard times. So let me illustrate with a Bible story. If you can remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Now this prodigal son ran away from home, wasted his family inheritance, lost all his friends, and he was stuck feeding the pigs. And finally, he returned to work for his father as a hired servant. And notice how his father greeted him upon his return. And the Bible says the father saw him from afar and he was filled with compassion. And he ran to his son. And then he threw his arms around him and kissed him. And so the son needed the comfort to get back on course. The father ministered comfort to him through the physical touch of hugs and kisses. So dad, don't be afraid to use physical touch to comfort your children or your son. Well, that's the son. Let's talk about daughters for a moment. There are some dads who love hugging their daughters when they were little or very young, but for some reason they stop showing their physical attention, affection as their daughters grew older. That your teenage daughters still need your hug and need your affirmation. Studies have shown that when a daughter does not receive the appropriate physical affection from her father while young, she often goes seeking the wrong affection elsewhere in some inappropriate way when they are older. And God has intended that comforting be part of fathering. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 says, our God is a God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. And so we fathers need to grow up in this area of comfort through a physical touch. Do not underestimate how listening, empathizing, or physical touch can comfort and help your children to regain the strength to get back on course. The third area of motivation. Motivate your children by urging them to live a life worthy of God. What is a life that is worthy of God? It is a life that is centered upon God. Put God first and seeks to honor God and Christ. A godly father has the responsibility to urge his child to live this kind of life. Don't just leave it to chance. Don't adopt the hands-off approach or an attitude that says, whatever will be, will be. A dad makes a concerted effort to lead his child to live a life in the ways of the Lord. And how does a father do this? The Bible points us to three areas: instruction, and then showing good examples, and then the third area is discipline. And so first, instructing them in God's word. Fathers, you have a God-given responsibility to instruct your children in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 78 verse 5 to verse 6 says, the Lord decreed stature, and he commanded our fathers to teach their children God's statue, so that the next generation would also know them. And David instructed his son Solomon, and Solomon in turn instructed his children in Proverbs 4. And he instructed his children to say, listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. And even in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, fathers are to bring their children in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Now, Ephesians 6 tells the children to honor the parents, both mom and dad, but then single out the fathers to instruct their children in the ways of God. Now, how do I do that, you ask? How am I supposed to know what to teach? And the answer is, you need to read God's instruction manual. Go to learn God's word and know your Bible and impart those things to your children. This is part of your spiritual leadership in the home. Instruct them in God's word. And so this is the first step in urging your children to live the life that is worthy of God. And second is, of course, by setting good example. Titus chapter 2 verse 7. All your instruction will have little impact if you do not set good examples yourself. Because action speaks louder than words. Even simple thing at home. We know of it's quite common among perhaps parents. This is, of course, a negative example. You know, when they don't like to talk to someone, and then when their phone rings, and then you ask the child to answer the telephone call and say that if it is ABC, please tell him that I'm not at home. Of course, this is not a good example. And therefore, this is a negative example. We need not only to teach them, but we need to set good examples at home. And so Paul, the spiritual father, instructed Titus, his spiritual son, in Titus chapter 2 verse 7. He said, in all things, showing yourself to be the pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. And that is a good advice for fathers. And you look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10, in our text it says, Paul sets example and says, he said, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. And so before Paul ever urged his life on his spiritual children, he set good examples, godly examples himself. And so fathers, you can pass on no greater legacy to your children than through instruction and by setting good examples. And then finally, discipline them when necessary. Instruction, setting good examples, and you need to have discipline in the family. It doesn't do any good to teach them the ways and the rules of God if you don't enforce them. Even in sports games, there are rules. And if the referee will not enforce any rule, the game becomes chaotic and meaningless. We need to instruct our children in God's way and then discipline them when they go astray. That is why there are many words, wise words of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the hearts of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Proverbs 23 verse 13 says, "Do not withhold correction of a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die." So do not be afraid to exercise discipline. If you refuse to do the unpleasant work of disciplining your children, you are signing that destruction warrant later on in life. You are turning them over to the foolishness and the sinfulness of their carnal nature. Firm but loving discipline may be hurtful, but in the end, it is worth it all. And so, discipline them, and then give them a hug later to assure your love for them. That is what I mean by loving discipline. Because they know that they get the spanking, but at the same time, at the end, they also get the hug. And so, Proverbs 29:17 say, "Discipline your son, and he will give you peace, and he will bring delight to your soul." And so, conclusion. Dad needs to recognize their God-given role after hearing this sermon. And therefore, motivate your children through encouragement, comfort, and urging your children to live their lives worthy of God. I know most of us have children who have children who are already grown up, but as a granddad, you can do perhaps 80% of these things. Discipline, perhaps you only do it when your son or your daughter give you the permission to discipline your grandchildren. Otherwise, they may be upset. But you can give them some advice, godly advice. And so, imagine what if every children's a Christian home has a father who encouraged them by their words, loving and affirming them, by their physical presence, being involved in their lives and activity, by their support, learning their interests and endeavor and helping them out. What if every Christian home has a father who comforts them by having a listening ear, by empathizing and identifying with them, by a physical touch of hugging and showing affection and concern for them? What if every child has a father who urged them to live a life worthy of God by instructing them in God's word and validating it by setting good godly example, and also by lovingly disciplining them when they stray away from God's way? What would our family and society be like when Christian children are raised up like that? That you have the power to make a difference in your family, and you begin to later in life to kind of enjoy the fruit of your labor in raising them up. And so, last but not least, by God's strength and grace, I challenge all dads to be that kind of a father. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.